it's one of those towns that, because, and I'll say it out loud, I'm from Southern California. We escaped.
Okay.
Yes, we escaped.
And we came here because we didn't want to change Idaho. We wanted Idaho to change us.
Hello, and welcome to You Know the Place, the show that explores all the Idaho shops, clubs, pubs, and grubs that you might always drive by, walk by, stroll by, but never visit. Welcome if this is your first time. I'm Lacey Daly.
And I'm Joel Wayne.
Oh, that works. Okay.
Field trip.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah. It's an actual field trip this time.
Okay, so you're up.
Yes, I'm up, and we're going to go get outside of the Treasure Valley.
Ooh.
This weekend for a little day trip. We're going to go to Crouch Garden Valley, that area.
I've never been to Crouch, so.
No? Okay.
What are we doing in Crouch? Are we nominating the town of Crouch?
No. Okay. I don't think we can nominate the entire town.
Unless they had like four people, then maybe.
Right. So the two, I'm nominating two places.
You might as well, because you're taking me out of town.
Yeah. The two places I am nominating are Stitch and Snip and The Dirty Shame.
Are you nominating these based off of their names? They're hilarious.
I want to say no, but yes, that is a part of it. That is a big part of it, because I love the idea of having an episode called Stitch and Snip. Stitch and Snip and the Dirty Shame.
And it's a tongue twister.
It also sounds like a band name.
Yeah.
Stitch and Snip and the Dirty Shames.
You're right.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of the Dirty Shame, so I've heard of the Dirty Shame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see. What is it a bar?
Yes.
Okay, that was what I thought.
So one is Stitch and... I don't even have to identify them. One is a quilting shop, I won't say which, and one is a bar.
Stitch and Snip or Sip?
Snip.
Okay, so it's not like a quilt and drink shop? Like...
I don't know. I don't know about that one. Both of these were mentioned to me by a friend, Susie, who her dad lives up there and has told me before that we should go up and explore. And these were both kind of recommendations from her. So, yeah, Stitch and Snip. I mean, other than the names and how they go together, Stitch and Snip, I will go ahead and say my central concern really is a quilt shop up in the mountains. How does that work?
Because what else are you doing?
I guess so.
In the mountains?
Netflix. That's Netflix and drinking.
Quilting.
And quilting. Those are both indoor activities, yeah. Which is really weird. It's like, shouldn't people be going outside? I don't know.
Well, when they're not outside.
Yeah. And then for Dirty Shame, I think it's really, what's the Dirty Shame special?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I want to go something more surface level this time. What is the draw? What do people go there to get? Is it finger steaks, Boilermakers, people watching? I want to know.
What are Boilermakers?
It's a shot of hard liquor with a beer back.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like those.
Should we bring the wives along?
Yeah, okay. It'll be a day trip.
Yeah, right?
Okay. I don't have to pack a toothbrush.
I mean, you know, we're riding in the same car, so.
Can we get snacks at least?
Yeah, we can have snacks. We'll have lunch. Should we take a break and then head up?
Head up. Is it up or is it over?
We don't know.
Gotta put it in maps. Joel, what's one thing you think our listeners have in common?
They think we're funny.
Okay, less about us and more about the podcast here. All the places we visited are in...
Idaho.
Yes, so our listeners probably enjoy exploring and learning about Idaho?
Yeah, I take that bet.
So don't you think that they should check out the Idaho State Museum?
Totally. It has so many exhibits and all this information about this great state of ours.
We're talking over 500 artifacts, 46 multimedia displays, and nearly 900 photographs that all help tell the story of the people and landscapes of Idaho. Doesn't that sound like something our listeners would be into?
I think they'd really dig it.
Learn more about upcoming exhibits, museum hours, admission pricing, and special events at history.idaho.gov.
So, up in Crouch, Idaho.
Here we are.
In the Garden Valley. We're actually parked in front of the community radio station here, which you might be able to hear in the background because they're kind of piping it out over the shopping center here.
So we're just going to walk on over to, where are we starting?
Stitch and Snip.
Stitch and Snip, which I did not see as we pulled through. I saw the Dirty Shame.
I didn't either. Okay. Susie's going to have to go. She said it's just, we just walk from here.
All right.
Which makes it sound like we're going on a trailhead or something.
Yeah,
but
not the case.
But yeah, go and get our knitting needles and
patterns that we need, and then maybe we'll head to the Dirty Shame.
Perfect match.
All right.
Okay.
Should we do it?
Yeah, let's get out.
We go for a little hike up the road, which our friend Susie keeps apologizing for.
We're going to just hike a little bit. It's all good.
Sorry, I realize maybe it's like not the best.
Before heading into Stitch and Snip, it's a sizable log building with a red roof, and it's blessedly very cool inside. We chat with Penny, who's working the front desk, who tells us about her history with the business and revealing her ulterior motive for working at the shop.
How long have you worked here at this?
You know, I can't remember. It's not been that long.
Oh, okay. I was like, man, that makes it seem like it's longer then.
No, I've been coming in a lot. We have a cabin up here, and that's why I ended up coming here. Now I just work 3 Saturdays a month for fabric.
Yeah.
Hey, that's nice,
I get
though.
That. Yeah.
Then we poke around for a bit, looking at the fabrics.
It's, like, very quiet in here because of all the fabric absorbing sound.
I know. We could, like, record in here.
Yeah.
Which we are.
Debating the cost of quilts.
I need to know how much money people are spending on average to do a quilt.
Mm-hmm. Is it 25 or is it 2500?
Yeah.
For a quilt.
That's what I'm saying.
My only point of reference is that Berenstain Bears book where she gets a job making quilts.
And looking at the other knickknacks.
I can make a pretty mean friendship bracelet. Like right now, if you bought me some of this.
Before Susie tells us about her on-again, off-again experience with quilting.
You quilt?
I am attempting at quilting.
Like, is it one piece of fabric for a quilt?
No, these are all pieces. You can see where they're all sewn together. Each of these lines would be a different piece.
But then you come back and do, like, decorative stitching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget what this is called, and there's a machine that does it with a really long arm, and you can either freehand it or there's a pattern that you can choose, lots of different patterns depending on what it is. So you do the quilt front, and then often people will just choose one piece of fabric for the back. Mm. And then there's the batting that goes in the middle, and then the binding is the little piece that goes around it.
Sounds like a lot of work.
And then, yeah. And then you finish.
We head back up to the front, where Penny encourages us to head down to an adjoining building next door, where the owners of Stitch and Snip are apparently in the middle of a quilting class.
I feel, like, more nervous about this than I have, like, in a long time. I don't know. Because we're walking into a class.
I know.
Quilting is our common thread.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
But our fears subside when we meet Anna and Rena, the owners of Stitch and Snip. They're heading up a class of about 10 women sitting at sewing machines in a space a little smaller than a grade school classroom, with high ceilings, quilts hung on the walls, and rolls and scraps of fabric on every surface. Everyone is, thankfully, extremely friendly and accommodating, and we're able to jump right in and chat with the group.
Yeah. Is quilting something you can do and talk at the same time? Or do you really have to be focused?
Well, it depends.
There you go.
It depends on the pattern.
Oh, different levels of difficulty.
This one is not a top.
So what they're working on, if this helps you guys, is this quilt back here.
Wait, the one up on the top?
And this one over here. Uh-huh.
What do you mean they're working on it?
So they're making that quilt.
That size?
That size. And that's why she's saying this is not a talking quilt, because you can see how intricate these ones are.
How big is that? It's an
that's
by
a 96 by 96 inches.
Wow.
So it's what they call a queen or a king size quilt.
Oh.
And this is a special technique that they actually sew on paper. And so it's called paper piecing is what they do. So that's how they get the crazy points and things like that.
Wow.
They've sewn onto they actually sew physically on paper itself. And then we rip the paper away and then they sew it together in units.
Oh my God. How long is this going to take?
This is a year program. So they're doing this for a whole year. Yep, so 12
months. That's a commitment.
It is. A commitment.
What's the financial commitment then for that?
Expensive.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah, I was curious.
So folks that are in this class or that come to it, are they living in Garden Valley, coming to you from other places?
I think, and especially in this class right here, I don't think there's a single person in this class from Garden Valley except for the one that left. They're all from Boise, Nampa, Caldwell.
And they're driving up here.
And they're driving up here to take classes. Yeah.
How long is each class or each session?
So this one's a day class, and so it's 10:30 to 4 o'clock is what they can sew. And so they do take a little lunch break sometimes in the middle of that. Yeah, so this one's one of our, this one's a larger class, Saturdays. We try to do a lot of our block of the months because we have ladies that are willing to drive once a month to us,
right.
But not maybe every week.
And they work for 24 hours straight, just...
Yeah. No sleeping.
Well.
Keep the coffee on.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's not bad, right? It's a pretty drive and come up one weekend a month.
And so, you know, it just gets out of the valley a little bit, away from the stress of life, and they get to, you know, we have our therapy and our cool smell at the same time.
Yeah,
it's really great.
How long have you been doing this then? How long has Stitch and Snit been?
We've been in business for, it'll be our 15th anniversary in October.
Oh, wow, okay.
This building here is our new classroom, and we've had this for a year. Before, we had it in our boutique room in the shop. There was our classroom.
Wow. Quite a bit smaller.
Really
that's
tiny.
Very small, yeah.
So we can only hold about 8 students in that one. So
this is probably... cooler too, I would assume, then too. Higher ceilings and.
Well, we have more display space in here, and of course we can handle 14 people now versus the 8.
Yeah. This is pretty awesome.
Okay, what's the origin of Stitch and Snip? The name.
It sounds so a little. Name.
Okay. It's like you kind of worry about mixing it up or something like that.
There's a place in Eastern Oregon. And I was like, so is this a place where you
quilt and
drink
wine? And have,
So originally when we opened this up, we did quilting and scrapbooking. So the Stitch was quilting and the scrapbooking was Snip. So that's the name was Stitch and Snip.
Gotcha.
And so it was... both of those.
Gotcha.
But because of the area, the scrapbooking didn't go very well up here, so we closed that section out. So we've kept our name because it's been around for so long. That we've kept the Stitch and Snip, and so that's where it came from.
We pull up chairs at one of the stations with about 4 women around us, and within 5 seconds, one of them has sat Joel down in her spot and is showing him how to sew on her machine.
Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. This is serious business.
Okay.
Have you sewn before?
No? Maybe?
Put it in there.
Okay.
Okay, see this is your foot?
Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna drop your foot on
that
there.
That is my foot.
Alright, now you push the gas pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Slow you down.
There's
here.
No brake.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not run over your pen.
Yeah.
Alright, have at it.
Look at you! Yay.
Now I've gone through and done it perfectly.
So now you can put your scissors and it'll cut it for you.
Oh, it does it for me?
We chat with the ladies about all things quilting, including the homework they have when they're in between classes, younger generations picking up the art, and the cost in dollars, labor, and love of making a quilt.
But I'm teaching my granddaughter.
Okay.
Mine's 5, hers is 13. 14.
Oh, yeah, it's one of those things that'll come back, and it'll be the new thing, the new old thing.
What do I owe you for this?
Do you have Venmo?
I saw what the prices were
for
those chairs, and that's why we asked them. We're like, geez, this is an investment, I feel like.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why you can't really sell
and
them
machines,
for,
too.
When people are like $400 or $600 or $800 for a quilt, and they think, wow, that's ridiculous.
And that's but, for,
yeah.
for the material.
But that's just the material.
And no time.
Is right.
Yeah. So, yeah, because no one's going to pay $35,000, you know,
right.
plus benefits.
Well, that's it. When you take a year to do it, there's a year's salary. I don't think so.
So they say if you receive a quilt from someone, you know that person loves you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good
one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a nice rule of thumb.
I like that.
The worst thing I've
Make
ever
me
seen
a quilt.
Is when people take their grandparents' or their grandma's quilt and tack it on the wall over a window.
Oh.
It's like, do you realize what you've just done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of how much went into it, for sure.
But they don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't have machines.
Right.
Computerized machines to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. How much does one of these machines cost?
That's the other cost.
Mine's a real basic one for traveling.
Yeah.
And it probably 10 years ago cost me $500.
Ooh.
But then I've got one at home that's like $5,000.
Wow.
So it just, everything in between, and they go a lot higher than that.
You can buy a used car for less than that.
Some of these ones, then they come with their own trailer.
Oh,
they have the wheels attached.
So you bring your own machines?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Our traveling cases.
We thank Rena, Anna, and the whole class for allowing our interruption. Then we head back outside to do a quick debrief in the parking lot.
Well, I was kind of terrified to go in there. Yes. I knew that we were interrupting a class, but they were really nice.
They were wonderful people, and I totally wanted to sit down and just kind of hang out.
You fit right in. You really did.
I did. I just wanted to just, you know, I just want to jam along.
Yeah.
You know?
What nice lady. But honestly, I never really looked twice at quilts.
Yeah.
But knowing a little bit more about what goes into them, they're really like pieces of art.
Oh, 100%. I absolutely agree. Should we go to the opposite end of the spectrum here and...
the dirty shame.
Go to the dirty shame now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little hungry.
Yeah.
I wish that...
grab a drink and a bite. We're in front of the shame, the dirty shame.
The dirty shame. Don't call it the shame like you've
the
been
old
here.
The old dirty. I have not. Yeah. Yes. And I should clarify. I've been up to Crouch a number of times. I've never been to the dirty shame.
And it's funny because it's kind of on your way in to town. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to notice it. And with a name like the dirty shame.
Right. And there's a like a big outdoor seating and a bar space. Susie says that they've added onto it quite a bit, I guess, over the years.
And we can get food here?
Yeah, there's a whole family hanging out there. It does not look like there's anybody like dancing topless on a bar, so I think we're probably okay.
Bummer.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
Should we head in?
Yeah, let's
give it a go.
Let's do it.
All right.
We head into the bar first, posting up to order drinks before we get some food. In spite of the name, the bar is no dim smoker. There's a dining area, a stage, and a dance floor, a billiard table, and the bar is high-ceilinged and well-lit. It reminded both of us of a brew pub more than a dive bar. We chat with one of the very, very busy bartenders for a minute, asking her what draws people into the shame.
What's the Dirty Shame special?
The Dirty Shame special?
Yeah, what's the Dirty Shame known for?
We have a dirty squirt shot.
What is that?
That one is sky grapefruit vodka with lemonade and cranberry shaken with splash of Sprite.
There's not any mayonnaise in
it. No, that would probably be a little gross and slightly disturbing.
That's what he's trying to dig up here. Yeah. If you're going through Crouch, you have to stop at the Dirty Shame.
Of course. Right.
Why do they say that?
So,
what's going on here?
No, it's an amazing place. First of all, we have amazing food. Have you guys not eaten yet?
No, we are going to. We figured we'd pop in here first and then we'll go out.
Tonight we actually have prime rib. But, so we hand cut our finger steaks, we hand dip our onion rings, same with the finger steaks, our dirty Italians, and our pizzas are amazing as well. You can't really go wrong.
Before popping over to a table of about six women, who have been making eyes at LD and I, and our audio equipment the entire time, they're very friendly and spend a moment preaching the gospel of Garden Valley.
Garden Valley is the best place.
Says who?
All of us.
Look at her!
It's one of those towns that, because... And I'll say it out loud. I'm from Southern California.
We escaped. Okay.
Yes, we escaped. And we came here because we didn't want to change Idaho. We wanted Idaho to change us. And which it has done, because we do things here in this town that we would never do in a big city.
Like what?
Well, I volunteer for...
In case you didn't catch that, one of the women says they're illegal, in reference to the things they can do here that they can't do in the city.
I volunteer for the Garden Valley Center for the Arts. Got involved with our HOA when we first started here. Both of these guys are radio DJs and when they moved here. She's on the board. Plus, she volunteers at Pay It Forward, which is the thrift store.
And I volunteer at the Center for the Arts.
And she volunteers at the Center for the Arts. My sister Edie volunteers.
Wait, you tell me people can't volunteer in Southern California? That's what it's starting to sound
it's,
like.
It's much more difficult because you actually see the results of your volunteer here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
And up there,
people
it's
in a
like,
big city
it's a big
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. Yeah. I didn't know my neighbors' names.
Me either.
In California.
And I couldn't depend on them. Here, it's a community of friends.
So, yeah, what about the Dirty Shame? We're here because everybody says if you come through Crouch, you should stop at the Dirty Shame.
Right.
Why do they say that?
Well, because now with the new owners, I think he's done a great job.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's done a really good job.
We're going to eat. Any recommendations?
Yeah.
The taco salad was great.
We can take your fries if you like them.
Yeah.
They're good. Yeah, they're very good.
We just came from a Stitch and Snip.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We actually
crashed a class.
Yeah, we crashed a quilting class.
And they didn't care, did they?
They were awesome. We were terrified to go in there, but they were awesome. And actually let Joel try his hand. They did not force you. They offered you accepted. Do you have it still?
But you have to be careful because they do have scissors.
Yes, right, yeah.
Scissors, yeah. See? It's really strong.
Yes.
The applause is a result of Joel showing off the piece of fabric he sewed at Stitch and Snip. They seem to really like that. We thank the ladies for chatting with us and head out to the patio to eat. We briefly debate what items on the menu we want to share.
Ooh, sriracha cod bites.
I was just going to say that. I'm kind of into this pickle spears, breaded and seasoned. Can we please get those?
Yes. We obviously have to get an order of finger steaks.
Before ordering and settling into our drinks and having the types of conversations you seem to only have in a bar.
I have a huge ass.
On the green.
And it never sees the light of day, so it's just like bright white. And the rest of me is kind of dark in the summer, so just...
You look great.
Thanks, babe.
You have a beautiful butt.
Thanks, guys.
I love taking photos of it.
Good work.
Thanks.
My dad bought you a wheelbarrow. Yeah.
Like your dad.
I think that's still
a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
And they say that is love language. If someone buys you a wheelbarrow,
yeah,
that means they love you very much.
Yeah.
She didn't let me get it.
I was not going to let her get it. I was like, we don't have anything to fuck so much. For that. No way.
No, you can't get a wheelbarrow. And then he buys it. And I was like,
this is really coming handy. I think that you guys should really have this. I know Jody wanted it.
Oh, that's so nice.
Whatever.
Then we get our food, stuff our faces, and head out to the car to debrief.
Back in the car, after our dirty shame.
That makes us sound like we committed a sin.
So, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are your initial thoughts? I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, you know, it kind of seems like a community watering hole.
Yeah.
You know, I think we both expressed how we expected it to be a little more divey.
Yeah, grungy or something.
It's not to say that's not, or maybe doesn't have the potential to be, depending on what time you're there. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we were there mid-afternoon, and folks were having lunch, dinner.
Yeah. You want to recap what we ate? Finger steaks, pickle spears, deep-fried pickle spears. Chime in.
Cod balls.
Cod balls.
Sriracha cod bite.
Oh.
Oh, they weren't cod balls. They were cod bites.
Sounds better. We're going with cod
deep-fried
balls.
Deep-fried cod balls. Deep-fried
tots,
cod balls.
Nachos. So, nothing green. What are we going to do now? Are we going to go home? Are we going to...
Nap time, wives?
Yes.
Wife nap time?
Wait, what?
Siesta.
We've also got a pie.
Oh, yeah? We'll make it a road pie.
All right. All right, should we take a break and then head back down the hill?
Everybody's sleeping. Okay. Good night.
Pop quiz, LD. What's going on with the I-84 construction between Karcher and Franklin Boulevard?
Well, they're widening I-84, so it will have three lanes in both directions. Plus, it'll also have a fourth auxiliary lane between the interchanges, so drivers can get on and off I-84 without merging through traffic.
I can't stump you. What gives?
Dude, it's all on ITD's podcast, Drive Idaho.
Okay, I guess I gotta listen more often.
Yeah, no kidding. Drive Idaho is a podcast devoted to providing news and information about road projects right here in the Treasure Valley.
Okay, so where do we find this podcast?
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe today. Back in Boise, back from Garden Valley.
Yeah, our little crouch trip.
Yeah.
Initial thoughts here?
First impressions, I guess, for me, this was a challenge. It was an unfamiliar place in an unfamiliar zip code. You know, even though I've been up there a few times, but I hadn't been into these specific businesses. And I think this is always the challenge for us, even though we want to get outside of Boise and outside of the Treasure Valley more and more. We have to have other people tell us where to go because it's not stuff that we pass by. You and I don't pass by the Dirty Shame or Stitch and Snip on the way to work.
So we
have to have people tell us what places to stop into. And they have to be places that are hopefully not those top 10 places that are more either off the beaten path or just like, hey, what's
yeah, that not everybody understands what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
What about you?
Well, when you first nominated Stitch and Snip, the producer in me was like, Jesus, Joel, we can't go to a quilt shop and do a podcast. And lucky for you, lucky for us and lucky for our listeners, we stumbled into that class. But my first kind of, I was like, I don't think this is going to be good.
But we did. We absolutely did luck out.
I think that I went into the Stitch and Snip thinking that I understood what quilting was all about. And I think it's because I grew up watching my mom every few winters crochet. Mm. And it seems like everybody's mom did that every few winters.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with some pot holders or like a scarf and you're just like, okay, it's just this hobby that anybody can do and you can do it while you're watching TV and that's fine. And maybe that's some of quilting, but I'm starting to think nobody just like picks up quilting to pass the time every few winters. Maybe
no.
they do.
But there's more to it than that, like in time and investment.
Yes. Well, and I think that's a good segue into my central concern, and we'll go in order here.
Okay.
With Stitch and Snip, really, I was asking about a quilting shop or a sewing shop up in the middle of the woods. You know, how does that work? My assumption was it's all going to be locals who just, you know, congregate. It's a place mm-hmm. for them to go and hang out with other like-minded people and get out of the cabin, get yeah. out of the house and do this thing. But people really come from all over. You know, we went around the table, around one of the tables, and asked where people were coming from. And by and large, it was not Garden Valley. And then I was thinking, well, why not travel up to this idyllic, this scenic place to hang out with people who are obviously friends and work on something that you love? It's almost like this destination activity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like going up and rather than, you know, going up to ski mm-hmm. with friends or something like that, they're right. going up to work on a quilt.
I kind of like thinking of it like that. It can seem crazy in one light, like really you would drive all that way to go quilt with your friends. Mm-hmm. But in another light, it's kind of nice.
Right. And I think Anna and Rena are a big part of what sets them apart then too, because they obviously are very, very hands-on. They run it like a course, basically, yeah. what, a year-long course?
Yeah.
You know, so it's an investment. And I think part of it too, when you invest in these types of things, it almost kind of keeps people engaged, you know, rather than if it was just a passing, like a drop-in class or something right. like that.
Yeah. I really learned a lot more than I had anticipated, and I left with like a greater appreciation for quilts.
Totally. So Susie reached out to us after the fact. It was this thing. She said, my sister-in-law posted this on Facebook. I thought it was a good way to answer your question about the cost of quilts when we were up at Stitch and Snip. And so it goes through. It has materials for a quilt, the construction, and then the finishing. Construction, the labor costs really do represent the most of it, but it's just shy of $900.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's an investment, absolutely, particularly in time. I guess we should probably move on to the Dirty Shame, though, talking about the central concern there, which really was, for me, about, is there a Dirty Shame special, something that they're known for? And I don't think that there is. I don't think that there does seem to be something that they are known all over the place for. I think it's a bar that people think of in Garden Valley that maybe in the past you've had a wild night there, or the place itself has had maybe more of a wild past. But on the whole, it's a nice bar with decent food. And I'm sure, like with a lot of bars, it can get a little bit wilder on certain nights with certain people coming through town. It's a destination itself. You know, Crouch and Garden Valley are destinations themselves. So you do have, I mean, when we were sitting there, you had 20 bikers pull up mm-hmm. and it automatically makes it like, oh, now most of the bar are bikers. And I'm not saying that necessarily means that it's rougher, but then suddenly the perception is that it's rougher and it's a biker
bar. So if you're pulling up with your minivan, you might keep on driving?
Depending on whether or not you're driving a minivan or not. Yeah. So I think it's just because it's the nature of it being, you know, on a highway that there's a lot of traffic kind of coming through. And so it kind of depends on who's parked in the parking lot.
But I think that's the special of the Dirty Shame, is that no one really feels out of place there.
Yes, very true.
And so it's not a drink. It's not some weird food. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the Dirty Shame has meant a lot of things to a lot of people over the years, and it's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. I think we even learned that it's under new ownership.
Yeah.
So maybe 10 years ago, sure, they had finger steaks, but now they have hand-cut finger steaks. So maybe it's elevating itself, and maybe people's past memories of it are different. But I think that still has room for everyone. Yeah. It's a gathering place mm-hmm. for what
very,
it's worth.
Very local watering hole.
So final thoughts?
Final.
Closing the chapter, the Crouch chapter.
This just really made me want to explore more. Every time we get outside of the Treasure Valley, this makes me want to go explore more. It makes me want to get more suggestions from listeners and giving us an excuse to get out, mm-hmm. to go to McCall, to go to Moscow, to go to
and
anywhere.
Encouraging our listeners to do it. Just pick a day and pick a destination and have no agenda. And
absolutely.
See where you end up or what you stumble into.
Yeah.
If we can do it, anybody can do it.
Yeah, 100%. What about you?
No, that wasn't. You Know the Place is a podcast brought to you by Boise State Public Radio.
And if you like the podcast, consider supporting the podcast.
Absolutely. This really is a passion project for us, and we'd like to continue making episodes.
But there are no guarantees. So if you'd like us to make another season of the podcast, consider donating $20, $10, or even $5 to keep us in business.
Go visit youknowtheplacepodcast.com and click on the support link on our homepage to make a secure donation.
And I'll tell you what, if 100 of you donate, we'll set up a time to meet in downtown Boise to share a drink and hang out.
With 100 people? Also, tell your friends about the podcast. Rate and review it wherever you listen. Just help us get the word out there, team.
Anything else?
Our sole credit. Our music is James Dean Kendall and the Eastern Oregon Playboys, who's been a supporter since the very beginning.
And Roms reach out to me from across oblivion, like stone, I'll glad they sink when I hear that siren song. Ain't no use in pretending, I just can't.